It's the return of the four-seam report. We'll talk about the strangest season in baseball history, predictions for that season, the hole in the Cardinals roster, and the interesting strategies some front offices may use that could make fans pretty angry. Let's get to it. So welcome back, everyone. I know we took a long break, and I bet you weren't expecting to see me again. But now we've got more time to give you more content. When I started doing the Four Seam Report, it was well over a year ago now, probably a year and a half. I wasn't sure exactly how far it would go, how well it would go. And the first couple episodes really didn't get going really good. And I looked back just the other day at the final episode that I did, the very last one, and there was actually a lot more listens on that one. And I've just got more availability now, and obviously the season is starting, and so I'm going to give it another try, and we'll see where this thing goes. I want you to, if there's somebody that you know, particularly a Cardinal fan, that would have interest in listening to a podcast like this, and again, I don't just cover Cardinals. I try to cover a little bit of what's going on around Major League Baseball. If you know anybody like that, send them this podcast. And we're on all the major podcasting services, whether it's Google Podcasts, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Breaker, any of these podcasts app, you're going to find me on there. And I want to point you toward Cardinals.com today. At their website, there you can watch free live-streamed intra-squad games. So the spring training right now is not really spring training. You play your own team. I think I seen the Cubs playing the White Sox last night. I think I caught some of that. And so some folks are getting creative. But a lot of teams are just playing each other, playing their own team. Cardinals are doing that, and for every intra-squad game, they are just posting a live stream on their website that you can go and watch, and it's been fun to watch. They have a lot of fun doing it, so go check that out. We've got a lot to talk about today, and I'm not even going to hit everything that I could talk about. I'm going to save that for more podcasts so you can listen to more. But let's talk about what is going to be the strangest season in baseball history. Now, really, this is the strangest year in my lifetime, probably for most of my listeners' lifetime. 2020 it's just different. It seems like it never ends. We're halfway through the year. We're past halfway through the year. We still have an election coming up. There's so much more news that's going to hit. And it's all day to day. You never know what's going to happen. But it's definitely going to be, you can already call it the most unique season in baseball history, and it's not even started yet. I think that how players handled their body over the break is going to be a huge deal. If you just checked out and didn't maintain the daily work that you should have, it's going to show in the season. It's going to be very clear who is consistent with their workouts and who is trying to make good on the contract their team has given them. I think it's going to be obvious this year. And it's a 60-game sprint. We've cut out 102 games from this season due to COVID-19. A 60-game sprint. There is no time for slow starts. There's no time for slumps. One slump could knock you out of the postseason. All right. Being swept at this point in a series is unacceptable. You might could endure one sweep, but you really don't want that. I think that manager decisions are going to matter more than ever, just how the team is managed, because sometimes it's just a fact players outplay the management decisions and save the management decisions. I've seen that happen before. And you're not going to have much opportunity for that. Those managerial decisions are going to mean everything in really tight situations, what you decide to do. So I'm going to give you the bottom line on the 2020 baseball season in my opinion, if you thought that anything could happen in a baseball season in 2020, that is going to be an understatement. Nothing is concrete. There is no possible outcome that is rock solid going into this regular season. I know that everybody puts out their power rankings. Everybody has a team picked to win the World Series. It is less valid and less likely, whatever your pick is this season, than ever before. Because, you know, used to, you could pick a team and figure, well, you know, they're really good. And so if somebody gets hurt or they have a slump, they'll have enough time where they can figure out what exactly the problem is, fine-tune their lineup, do whatever that they need to do. They've got a 162-game season to take care of all that. Not anymore. You got 60 games. If in the first 20 games, that's the third of the season, by the way, if in the first 20 games you don't do pretty well, you might be done. You might be done. That's how wild it's going to be. Every game counts more than it ever has. I want to give you some early predictions. I'm going to give you two people I think that are going to dominate. Two people that I think are going to have just a better year. And then two people who I think are not going to have a good year. And these are people that I think, this is personally picks I think that you can bank on. All right. This is not really a hot take, I don't think. But I think you can bank on these. So I think that Jack Flaherty is going to dominate. I mean, the last half of 2019 season, the dude was on fire. On fire. And I think he's established himself as the ace. He's the starting day pitcher. The dominance on the mound, I watched him just the other night, and even when he struggled, he's still dominant. It's amazing. And so I think that's a given. Jack Flaherty is going to dominate. I've got another interesting interesting pick for you. I think Ryan Helsley is really going to emerge, and he did great last season. I think it's going to become more evident that he's a key part of this bullpen this year. He's going to dominate. I think Paul DeJong will have a better year than last year. He's a great player, and I think his numbers are going to be up. Another one, Andrew Miller, I think he is bound to have an up year. I think that's going to happen. Now for the down years, I think Brett Cecil is just – another year where we're trying to make good on the contract that we signed him for. I was talking to a friend the other day, and I was like, you know, the day that that happened and I seen the amount that they signed Brett Cecil to on a contract, I immediately thought that there's just no way that a relief pitcher, unless he's your closing pitcher and he just rings up a bunch of saves, there's really no way he can be that valuable. Yes, I think Andrew Miller was that valuable in his prime when everybody was talking about him, the fix-it reliever. He would come in and just, I mean, absolutely lay everybody down. I think he was that valuable. And I think the Cardinals may have been looking for that in Brett Cecil. But they have gotten virtually nothing from this guy. And I watched him pitch in the intra-squad game last week, and it was no different. Immediately, the bases were loaded. Immediately, he was in a pinch and a bind trying to figure out how he would get through it. And they were talking about how he had restructured his delivery. And they were thinking that maybe, you know, he tweaks it a little bit to a way, a form that he had years ago. Maybe it'll make things better. I'm just not buying it. I'm really not buying it. And there's too many other arms that they have, young arms, good arms, arms with potential that may emerge. I just really think it's been so long we've not seen anything good out of Brett. I don't think we will this year. It's just my opinion. Tyler O'Neill, I don't think he's going to have a good year. Honestly, since he's been in the big leagues, I don't think he's had a great year. I don't know that there's been a year where it's like, oh, yeah, this guy belongs in the big leagues. They've exhausted the options in the minors is the main thing. There's not much that he can do down there. And so he's in the big leagues right now, and they want to use him. But I just really tell you, I have the feeling from him, even watching him the other day that it's not going to pan out. He's not going to have the year that they need, and there's too many other outfielders around that can make up the difference in what they need. So I wouldn't bet on Tyler O'Neill this year. Let's talk about the strength that I believe this team has. And I think it's clear. I don't think you have to read into it too much. It's been the strength for the Cardinals for years, and that's pitching. Primarily homegrown pitching. And by that, I mean both starting and relief. I think that the Cardinals have the potential to be top five in the majors in starting pitching and in relief pitching. You look at the starting lineup or the starting rotation. Obviously, you've got Jack Flaherty, Adam Wainwright, Miles Michaelis. You've got Hudson, and you're either going to have Martinez or Kim. I want to back up there for a minute because if Martinez or Kim don't really show what they've got, it is entirely possible that John Gant could take that spot. And I really mean that. I was watching him the other night when he was on the opposing team from against Jack Flaherty. It was Jack pitching and then there was John Gant pitching. And John Gant was dominant. When you watch them both pitch together, they were tremendous, each of them. John Gant was doing that well. I was very impressed with John Gant. He's been around for a while. If he really shows well over this next several opportunities he has, he may get the opportunity to do it. And so keep that in mind. But that's, there's some great starting pitching they have there. And then you look at their relief. You got Gallegos, Helsley, who I just talked about. If Gant's in the bullpen, you've got Miller, who I'm predicting to have an up year. Ponce de Leon, which is, he's got just tremendous potential. And Tyler Webb, who's been really great at times. That's some really solid relief pitching right there. And so the starting pitching is really the strength of this team. And I think that I seen the ranking of pitching in major league teams the other day on MLB.com, and I think somebody, some reporter, put the Cardinals at the end of that list, which was like number 10. And I would have rated it higher. And I know that I'm prejudiced. I know that I'm prejudiced, but there is so much potential in Cardinal pitching. And people all the time are wondering, where are they getting these arms? Where are they getting? And they bank on young arms. They know they're scouting in young arms. They pick correctly so often. And they've got like this just a backlog of these players, these pitchers with great arms. And they come up, they mature, and they're dominant. And so I think you can always plan for that higher ceiling in the pitching. And I think that could very much happen this year. I think it's going to be awesome to watch their pitching. Now, there is a hole in this team, and we're going to talk about that. But first, I want to talk to you about Anchor. So the pitching for the Cardinals is going to be the strength. And somebody that I haven't mentioned yet is Austin Gomber, who is a lefty option. And I really think he may be the most impressive pitcher so far of the summer camp. I've seen some stats just recently that his 5 innings have been limited to just 17 batters. He's allowed 1 hit and 1 walk while striking out 5. That's pretty impressive. And so that could be very useful, But as I said, there is a hole in this team. There is a hole. You got that strength of the pitching. Baseball's not all pitching. And you can pitch really well, but you got to score some runs. And that is the issue. There's a hole in the team, and it's the offense. It's been there since the unfortunate loss of Oscar Taveras, and that's been several years ago now. They've tried to answer that hole with Jason Hayward. They made an attempt at Giancarlo Stanton. They got Marcell Ozuna. They got Dexter Fowler. And now Paul Goldschmidt. And it's each attempt, there's been a realization that it's not enough. It's not enough. We need something better. And they would lose one of those players and then get the next one. Lose one, then get the next one. They would miss out on an opportunity and go for somebody else, maybe a lesser pick. And you remember that in the postseason last year, the Nationals fully exposed the Cardinals' weakness in the lineup. The offense was nowhere to be found when they went into that series. And we went through an entire offseason. And I'm going to keep saying this because I think fans need to remember. I know everybody's excited at the beginning of a season. I know everybody's excited because, you know, the positivity of baseball happening again, the potential for your team. But I really don't want Cardinals fans to forget about what the team did. We went through an entire offseason without management addressing the issue of no offense. It was never addressed. We got Kim, the pitcher. We did not address the offense. And so, because of that, the offensive hopes of the team rest on three individuals. To begin with, Paul Goldschmidt. This is obvious. This is really the most valuable player on the team, I would say, other than maybe Jack Flaherty. His offense is absolutely crucial, and he's historically consistent. Maybe not throughout an entire season, but at the end of that season, you'll see that his numbers reflect what he's done historically. And so I predict that he'll have a slightly better year than last year. I think that he can be counted on that he's going to produce. There's never been an instance where Paul hasn't. That's the reason they got him. They needed consistency. So, yes, a lot of the offensive hope rests on him. I don't think that'll be a problem. But the second person, and this is really important, these next two people, this is really, to me, what the whole season's about. You know, from the outset, looking before we even begin. This is what I see that it's about. Dylan Carlson. Dylan Carlson is no joke. In 2019, I just want to give you these stats and remind you, between Springfield and Memphis last year, that's 126 games. Dylan had 28 doubles, 26 home runs, 20 stolen bases, a .292 average, and a .914 OPS. He was a minor league all-star. He's a minor league staff choice for breakout prospect and a minor league fan's choice for best offensive player of the year. He is the real deal. Now, Will Leach over at MLB.com has predicted Carlson to win the Rookie of the Year award. I find that hard to believe. This is a series of predictions that Will made in an article. One of them was that for the Cardinals, Dylan Carlson will be the Rookie of the Year. I really find it hard to believe because the Cardinals want that service time to stay under what everybody else is wanting it to be. They want the advantage. They want to keep him longer. They want to keep him tied to the team longer. Those years of ownership of that player, being able to keep him. They value those a lot, but there is this gaping hole that's in the offense clearly right now, and they're not going to play him. And it's already obvious. It's already obvious because, well, I'm just going to read it to you. That Mike Shildt all but confirmed that what his outfield members are going to be for the coming inter-squad games and for the start of the season. This is his quote. Harrison Bader is having a really nice camp, Shildt said. We know we're going to run Dexter out there, and Tyler O'Neill has done his part to secure opportunity. So there you go. That's what it's going to be. Here's your starting outfield. Harrison Bader, Dexter Fowler, and Tyler O'Neill. Dexter Fowler had a much better offensive year last year. Harrison Bader has not really had an offensive breakout year. And neither has Tyler O'Neill. So you don't have offense in the outfield. Your outfielders don't have offense. It's just not there. That's where it needs to be. You need to have some offense coming from somewhere out there, somewhere. And I'm just not counting on it coming from Harrison Bader. So you've got, and Harrison Bader's a tremendous center fielder. I mean, he's perfect for the spot, does awesome. But you've got this open spot that you have the potential to put somebody, plug them in, that they can really hit. And you've got Carlson there, and they don't want to play him. Now, what really makes me angry about that is they justified, the management, I should say the front office, justified not going out and getting some offense in the offseason by playing up, talking up Dylan Carlson. And pretty much all but committing to the fans, you're going to see Carlson play, and it's really going to help our team out. He's going to help the offense in a great way. Whether they say that now or not, it was clear that Mozeliak was pushing that. It was clear that even Schilt was pushing that. There was a common message, guys, talk Carlson up because we're not going to get any more offense. At some point, we're going to bring him up, and he's going to help out. Guess what? Now you've got a 60-game season. You don't got much opportunity. And so if you hold off and say at the 30-game mark, well, it's time to go get Carlson. Our offense is just not doing anything. You call Carlson up. Now you're giving him 30 games to try to rescue the team when you could have had him there for all 60. All 60 mattered. And this is a common theme that also aggravates me with the Cardinals sometimes. It really doesn't matter until it's too late to even worry about it. So we just kind of deal with our problems until we've lost so many games that you can't make up enough to cover it. This happens so much, so much. And I think we may see it again. I really hope not, but I think we may see it again. And, you've had other opportunities for players to take that spot. But, I mean, to be quite honest, who is it? Who is that? It's Lane Thomas. Lane Thomas, he's not exactly beating down the door in his attempt to get that spot. And so your options are O'Neill, Lane Thomas, and Carlson. And they have decided, it's pretty well certain now, that they're going to go with O'Neill in the left field. So that's what you're going to have there. Carlson's not going to play until they're ready for him to play. So don't expect him to see him for a little bit unless someone gets hurt. If he does come up, and I think he will at some point in the season, there's going to be a lot of pressure on him to perform, and you don't really want that. So, man, I really don't think you would. I mean, let the guy settle in and play. But they're not going to do that. And so there may be a lot of pressure on Dylan Carlson to revive the offense midseason. And then the third and final person that this offense rests on is, of course, Matt Carpenter. It's funny because I listened to the very last podcast that I put out, and I was talking about Matt Carpenter and how in the next few years he might have an advantage because of the DH coming to the National League. Well, this year it's here, and that's where he's going to be. That's almost certain. And that is going to be an advantage to him. He will be at DH, and you'll see other people playing third base. And that needs to happen. He's not a very good defender. That being said, he's not been a very good hitter over the last season. And in that other podcast, I was talking about, yeah, he's a great hitter. You know, he's doing well. And everything just changed. And he's been such an up-and-down hitter, up-and-down, up-and-down. And let's be honest. If he were on any other team with the results he's handed us over the last few years, he'd probably already be gone. Anybody remember Alan Craig? Man, that guy was showing so much potential. He didn't have this super long contract, but the Cardinals got rid of him. Got rid of him pretty quick when he didn't show the results. But we do this thing where we hand out chance after chance after chance, and sometimes it does pay off. It did in Colton Wong. It took him a while to really hit the ground. But he finally did, and he's an awesome player, a valuable player to this team. But we never expect Colton Wong to carry a ton of offensive weight for the team. He wasn't expected to be that kind of a hitter. Projected to be a good hitter, but not that kind of a hitter. Carpenter can be expected to do that, and he needs to do that. And he's been doing well of late. He homered off Jack Flaherty this past week. He's hitting. He claims his swing feels great, and there's this optimistic language about him being thrown around. We've heard this bit before. All that really matters is the regular season production. And so I don't get too excited when some player has this, you know, really, really big change in spring training and all, you know, and everybody's talking them up real big. That's when I really get worried, when they start talking them up about, oh, man, you know, that swing looks really good. I can see he's really feeling it, you know, and I'm like, okay. The proof is in the pudding. When we start playing regular season games, that's when it matters. That's when it counts. That's what my spring training does not give people contracts. Spring training doesn't give people World Series winners. The regular season does. And that's what I want to see. I want to see Carpenter do well then. So I'm not just real optimistic about him. And so I really believe that, honestly, this is the final chance for Carpenter. If something doesn't change for him this season, I think St. Louis would be crazy not to make a move. I really do. You got Nolan Gorman. He's right there. Awesome potential player. Give him a little push, and next year he could be in there. And so don't feel like you really have so much tied up in Carpenter. I really would. If he doesn't do that well this season, I would probably give him the boot. I really would. And give Nolan Gorman a chance, and all your offense be put on somebody who has a higher ceiling, and perhaps you can count on at least some sort of consistency. Just a few thoughts from around Major League Baseball. I really see the Dodgers being a strong team. Again, there's no prediction that I can make as far as teams, who's going to lead, who's going to win, who's going to take a division. None of it really matters, but I'm just going to give you my thoughts because it's a 60-game season. The best team in Major League Baseball could have a slow start, and that's the season. That's just the way it is this time, 60 games. But I do believe that the Dodgers have a lot of potential. They got Mookie Betts now. Their offense is a monster. Their pitching is a monster. Of course, the New York Yankees. I think Giancarlo Stanton will have a better year, of course. That's an awesome team right there. I don't think the Astros will do as good as everybody thinks. I personally believe that everything that's happened in the last year is going to weigh on them, and it's not going to be as good of a season. That's just really what I think. There's a lot of predictions for the Reds to do better. I'm skeptical. I still think it's going to be Brewers, Cubs, Cardinals. That's what I think. Anytime somebody says the Reds are going to be really, really good, I kind of get worried just because I don't think their management, this may seem kind of rude, but I just don't think their management can handle being that good of a team. Some teams, the biggest problem is the management. Like, I'll give you a prime example. The Mets, there's a lot of good players that they've gotten on that team. The management is horrible. It's just horrible. It's historically horrible management for that team. And so when they're ranked really high, I'm skeptical. I'm skeptical because there's a culture. There is a culture in the organization. And organizational culture really does matter. It does matter. And the players feed off of whatever that is, which is why I predict the Astros to not do as well. But overall, I think it's going to be an exciting year. It's so different. And so I think there's things going to come up that we're not even seeing. down the road. I mean, you're going to be trying to get free agents quickly, really quickly. Every series means so much. I think there's going to be a lot more study into every game that they go into, a lot more analytics studied, picked out. They're going to be trying to find any advantage they possibly can find. So, with all that being said, I'm going to give you the payoff pitch, kind of my final thought in this episode. I'm going to read to you an article from the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. And what it is, this is the power rankings for the 2020 season. The Cardinals are listed as 12th under the Reds. This is one of those situations. The Reds are ranked 10th. The Cardinals are ranked 12th. And for each ranking, a preview is given for every team in 60 words. So this is Jeff Roberson. This is a direct quote. "Hello, anybody home? The Cardinals seemed awfully quiet in the offseason. Maybe they got cocky after winning the NL Central in 2019, but that's only because MLB rules insist someone win. The starting rotation is still impressive and could be enough to win the division, but it's got to be disappointing St. Louis did nothing to boost a below-average offense. Yep, that's pretty much what's going on. They didn't do anything about it. They didn't go out and get anybody to bolster an offense that everybody knows is subpar. And here's the uncomfortable truth. 60 games means that you don't have much time to fine-tune and get a ton of work done to form a really competitive team. Management knows this. And so it is going to be very, very tempting to quickly throw the towel in on 2020 to shoot for a better advantage and more time in 2021. You have a trade deadline after 35 games. So whoever you get will be able to help you for 25 to 30 games. That could be some help or no help at all. Who knows? But management operates off of risk nowadays, and the Cardinals are notorious for it." That's all I've got for you today. Guys, we are just 4 days out from game one of the season right now as I speak. And it's going to be way different, but get excited. It's time for baseball. And we'll be back here shortly to talk about it some more on the Four Seam Report podcast.